Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner podcast. On the schedule today, we will recap our previously recorded art show broadcast. Very nice. It was very nice. We'll talk a little bit about the basketball team, a couple broadcasts we have coming up this week. We're going to go around with a new segment, the Electric Moment of the Week, which we've just created. We want to keep the electricity in the podcast. We'll have extensive Super Bowl coverage, a big game coming up on Sunday, and of course, our producer question. We are ready to go, and let's do it. We are back for streaming number two. I don't know what you want to call it. We had a broadcast on Tuesday at the art show, and we're back for another podcast today. I'm Douglas Satuco alongside Benjamin Dixon, Brian Flattown, Matty Ice, the big man, Matty Gold, back. And what's better than ever on? With his shirt on backwards. I love it. Steel making an appearance. I love it. And Mike Garafa here, of course. So we had a huge day on Tuesday, the art show. That was just a great experience.
Yeah, the two-hour delay didn't stop us. We were out there in full force in the corner of the new gym out for all fifth period doing our broadcast about sports. And shout-out Matt Gold turning your shirt around. It's on forward now. Proud of you, buddy.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
I know you're getting to college now. It's a big moment for you, kid.
Yeah, big year.
I got to say that with the third Tuesday broadcast with the two-hour delay not stopping us, it didn't stop a lot of people. We had a big crowd out there. I like that. Liked everyone coming out and watching that in the art room, and Lights getting the interviews with Russell Coffey and Jonathan Gertelli too. That was very fun. And Mr. Mataritona.
Oh, yeah. So one of the coolest experiences I've been a part of. We had plenty of interviews. Go check it out. It's on YouTube, our channel, West TV. So we're uploading that. It should be up soon. So that was a great experience. We spoke a lot about the basketball team. We had Mr. Mataritona on for an interview. Very solid interview. Had to give him the shout out. Of course, we did. Great guy. Really still loves the game. Still part of it with his son, as he spoke to us about. And if you want to check out that full interview, of course, just go on the YouTube and check it out. So just a reminder, Tuesday, I don't want to get this wrong. Tuesday, February 6th is senior night for the boys.
Correct.
Boys basketball.
That is correct.
We have a live broadcast. Thursday night, Sam Hinkie, 1,000-point night. Girls basketball live broadcast. We'll be there for both.
Also,
two in a week.
Also having the article story of the week coming out morning before the game. Written by me, of course.
Way
to be.
Of course. Matty Gold, I don't know how we're going to fill your void when you're gone.
Very, very exciting week for school sports. Definitely next week. Looking forward to it.
Okay. So we spoke about art show. Beautiful. And we're going to move on into, let's talk about Super Bowl coverage. One of the biggest sporting events of the whole year coming up on Sunday.
One of. This is the biggest
sporting
event.
Well, Ben would argue. Okay. And I like to take his opinion into consideration.
It's the biggest single sporting day of the year, in
Fair.
My opinion.
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
And you got the whole week, too. There was Super Bowl opening night earlier this week. Media day. Mm-hmm. It's a whole, the festivities in Minneapolis. It's a shame that the Vikings couldn't celebrate it with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, rest in peace to the Minneapolis miracle. But I'm very, 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 very excited for this game. No matter who's playing it, it always gets me going.
We went into extensive coverage on the art show broadcast, and we spoke about electric players that we think in that game could make a huge impact. We actually had an interview with a Philadelphia Eagle fan, John Critelli, shout out.
Happened to be decked out in all Eagles gear.
Of course he was.
He got the beanie on. He's got the sweater on, the sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. So he's all ready for Sunday, as most football fans are.
Yeah, we had some bold predictions. I said the Buffalo Wings would win the Super Bowl, definitely on the menu as the best food. Ben, you had a quick good line there.
About Nick Foles' 2013 season. Mm-hmm. The guy's a backup now. He knows he's going to be a backup next year, assuming he stays with the Eagles. But the two best seasons in NFL history in terms of touchdown and interception ratio, Tom Brady, not sure which year, and Nick Foles, 2013, his Pro Bowl season.
The only issue with that stat, and he did have a great year that year, but this one kind of goes under the radar. In the 2013 season, Nick Foles against opposing defenses had the highest dropped interception rate against Nick Foles by an astounding number. So that ratio easily could have been very different, but it wasn't. So he had a great year, and he had that 7-touchdown game in that year that also might pad the stats a bit, but he did all those things, and it was a great year for him, and hopefully we could see a little bit more of that on Sunday.
Well, you don't think that some view Nick Foles as a starter, a viable starter
option? Do you guys think he gets paid? He's taken his team to the Super Bowl. He struggled a lot early. And he finally sort of settled in, I guess, with that run-pass option, really working well. Doug Peterson, magical. Magical what he's done.
Absolutely.
But Foles gets paid?
I think he'll get paid as a backup.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever. But one of the more higher paid backups, because he's bringing him, Case Keenum, a few of these other guys are bringing a very valuable spot to the role of the backup quarterback. Because some teams may lose their quarterback and they go to the gutter. Their team's terrible. But these two teams, they made it to the NFC Championship. One's going to the Super Bowl now, both on the backs of their backups. So, next man up might be the methodology right here for the NFL.
And just for the record, Foles has another year on his contract until he can opt out. But he can also be not only a backup. I think he can be a good bridge QB and definitely a viable starting quarterback in the NFL. Not a top-tier starting quarterback in the NFL, but someone. You look at the quarterback starting around the league this year, Case Keenum, Nick Foles for the end of the season, and even now, starting in the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens with him in the future. Definitely can be a bridge QB. There's a ton of options available for Foles. We'll see what happens. This game's a big one for him.
Just to keep this in consideration, Case Keenum, backup quarterback last year, actually started a few games for the Rams, came into Minnesota, was the backup. Took over the role, and Foles, same thing, but they both have top defenses in the league. So it looks as though the formula is pretty interesting of how teams are going farther and farther in the playoffs, especially this year. You talk about Jacksonville making it to the AFC Championship, Minnesota, NFC Championship, both two of the best defenses in the league right there.
Yeah, those are probably the one and the two, and then the Eagles might be running it right at the three.
Exactly.
Right there,
so you're talking about potentially top three defenses in the league all in championship games. So,
and all three with subpar quarterbacks. Case Keenum, although, showed me a lot this season. I don't think he's necessarily a subpar quarterback anymore, but I still consider Nick Foles and Blake Bortles bottom half of the league guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about Bortles and that Jacksonville D carrying them all the way to the AFC Championship. Did blow that one, though, against the Patriots.
Yeah, tough.
I would have liked to see him in this game coming up Sunday, but it is what it is. Patriots in it again. And, I guess. You want to get some predictions in?
Yeah, so defense seems to be the formula for teams going far in the playoff run. So we'll go for predictions here. And I don't know if I can give a score. I can. I am going to a Patriot fan's house. I was there last year. I had to console the guy. The guy was a wreck at halftime. in the corner of his couch, he was just demoralized. And I'm like, all right, just relax, dude. They come right back. I'm like, it's the Patriots. You know they'll be back. And they ended up winning the game. The guy was hysterical crying after the win. The guy was jumping around. So
my dad and brother were at that game.
Oh, no way. Wow. That's very impressive.
I honestly do not want to see that happen again. I'd like to see the guy start crying because I'd like to see Philly. I'd like to see Philly get in the mix, get themselves a Super Bowl ring. Because you know what? I feel bad for the guys. They have nothing.
Yeah,
they're a bunch of losers.
Yeah. You know, New York has the money. Washington has the power. And Philadelphia has the stake.
But it's just, I'd like to also see Nick Foles get it.
Yeah,
it would be big.
Be a great story.
And for them to rally around Wentz, that would be big too.
I'd love to see all those things happen, but there's that but. They're playing the New England Patriots, and although they're there and they're in the biggest game, they got all the way to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure that they'll be able to top Tom Brady and the Patriots in this one. When the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I'm never out here predicting them to win. Last year, I had the Falcons winning. When they played the Seahawks, I had the Seahawks winning. I think I even had the Giants winning when they played them every time, just because I hate them so much. But and that's why it brings so much pain to me that they're just. I think they're going to win 24-20. They're going to beat the Eagles, I think.
Yeah, I got a similar prediction there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 27-20 New England. I think it's going to be the All Philadelphia early on, similar to the Jacksonville game in the AFC Championship, and similar to the Atlanta game in the Super Bowl last year, although not that big of a margin. But I do think Tom Brady will work his magic. Unfortunately, he'll throw a touchdown to I'll go with Brandon Cooks here for the
win.
Brandon Cooks.
I'm going to say Gronk.
I know they're going to throw. You know what? I'm going to go right on the back of Deion Lewis. He's not going to throw the game when he
touchdown. James White.
Get down there.
I'm
going to
go.
That would be fitting if it's James White, but I think it's going to be Lewis.
The Eagles are going to win.
Wow.
31-27.
Wow.
Final score.
Big time player, James White, especially in the Super Bowl last year. Huge performance. Last year, I did not go.
Hold on,
I
Doug.
Said,
Doug, 1 second. What? Gold, do you want to elaborate on that prediction a little bit?
Yeah, I like to hear this.
I do. Well, you see, Patriots, they're kind of. Offensively, people think because they have Tom Brady, they're automatically unstoppable. But if you look towards the end of the season, Tom Brady has not been playing as well as he's shown, throwing 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And through the playoffs, they've really gotten it done through a bunch of different ways. They're mostly their run game and their coaching ability to be more prepared. Tom Brady has made clutch throws when he needed to, but look at who they played. They played Blake Bortles. They beat the Tennessee Titans. Like, these aren't real competitors.
I agree, but the issue is I don't think that the Eagles are the team that can beat them. Mm-hmm. I think that if the Vikings got there, I would have absolutely stood here and predicted the Vikings to win. But I don't think that the Eagles are the team that would beat them. I think the Eagles are more like the Jacksonville team, but even to a lower extent, because their offense might be a little bit better than Jacksonville's, but nothing's like that Jacksonville defense.
Yeah, over the years I've learned, and I said it last year, it's extremely difficult to go against Tom Brady and Belichick.
Especially
and
with 2 weeks of preparation like this.
I don't think I could do it again. You got to predict Patriots are going to win it, but I understand what you're doing. But I think Patriots win on a strip sack. None other than James Harrison wins it.
Wow, that'd be a fitting.
That would be
fitting end.
Fitting end.
Fitting end for a failure season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We dipped into the Super Bowl coverage. Of course, we spoke a lot about it on the broadcast during the art day. So if you want to check that out, of course, West TV on YouTube. We're going to start a new segment.
Let's bring up the pace a little bit. This I was a little depressing, all these Patriots predictions.
Yeah.
Making me real sad.
Yeah.
So let's turn it up a bit.
So we're going to get into our new segment. I am stoked about this segment. I love this idea. It is the electric moment of the week. We lost out. We don't have any more electric players of the week because football, of course, is coming to an end. But we are ready for the electric moment of the week. Matty Ice, start it off.
Well, I'm going to start with an event that doesn't get the love that it deserves. You know, it's on. It's exciting. It's the X Games.
I love the X Games.
You know it. You love it. But specifically, an event that doesn't get the coverage that it deserves, the snowboard Halfpipe Super Final. This stuff is just unearthly. They're doing insane tricks that even the commentators were going nuts. They couldn't
contain themselves.
They said it was the best X Games ever. And it's proven when you see that the Japanese snowboarder, very young, 17, 18, put up
17, 18. I love seeing that.
Put up the best run since Shaun White scored his perfect score of 100 in 2012 with a 99, did back-to-back 1440s, never been done before.
You know, I'm going to have to I find the X Games and I find the Winter Olympics, I think it's so exciting and I love it all so much. And I've been waiting for a few years now for someone to step in Shaun White's shoes. That'd be very exciting if he could take over. My electric moment of the week is none other than the Alex Smith trade. Rocked the NFL world on Super Bowl week a little bit of drama. So the Washington Redskins, in case you didn't hear, traded for Alex Smith, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. They gave up a third-round draft pick, I believe, and cornerback Kendall Fuller, who's apparently a young quarterback on the rise, very, very good. A lot of people saying some great things about him. I just want your guys' opinions. Who do you think won that trade, really?
I want to see the first year in Washington and then make a decision, because not only did they trade for him with his 1 year left on the contract, they extended him another 4 years.
Yeah, and if I may say, that's a 4-year, $94 million deal.
I think this is a no-brainer win for the Chiefs.
You thought about it there. I think it was a brainer.
No brainer. Here's why, right? You get rid of Kirk Cousins, a younger...
No, not Kirk Cousins.
Well, he's going to be traded.
No, they're
fair.
Getting out
no, you
fair,
said,
yes.
you said win for the Chiefs. You said win for the Chiefs. You
no,
meant
no,
Redskins.
No, no, no.
You said it's a no-brainer win for the Redskins
or
the Chiefs.
Long streak.
No, wait.
Is it a no-brainer win for the Redskins or is it a no-brainer win for the Chiefs?
I don't know. No-brainer win for the Chiefs.
Okay.
The Chiefs are
okay.
Okay.
Go, speak.
Here's why. You have Kirk Cousins, right? Who's a younger, he's going to get traded in the offseason, which is why I'm saying he's going to leave. Like, even though he's still on the team, like, you don't get Alex Smith if you're not going to get rid of Kirk Cousins. They're not both going to be on the team.
Yes. Okay.
Because then they would have to franchise tag him and pay him a ridiculous amount of money.
Okay.
So Kirk Cousins is gone. So you have Kirk Cousins, who in my opinion is a younger, better version of Alex Smith, and you still don't find a long-term solution for your quarterback problem if you're the Redskins.
Well, they kind of did. They signed him to 4 years. So they're expecting, but the problem with that is they're expecting a 37-year-old quarterback to be as effective as he is now or close to as effective as he is now.
He's definitely old.
In my opinion on the trade is I liked going out and getting Alex Smith because I don't like the idea of paying Kirk Cousins as much as they were going to have to pay Kirk
They were
Cousins.
Only
going to
pay him $2 more million than they're paying Alex Smith.
Well, but that's on a tag. They shouldn't be tagging him again. They should have either signed him or let him go. And letting him go, I respect that decision. That's okay. And I like going out and getting a guy like Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. I think he's very good. He had an excellent season last year. And I don't think that the success or the lack of success in the playoffs on the Chiefs was a result of Alex Smith. I don't think that's his fault. I think he's a guy with a winning nature. But the Chiefs won. I mean, they got rid of a guy that was going to leave anyway. They got a young cornerback on the rise, and they got a third-round pick out of it, and that's that. They have Mahomes. They're moving on to him. They knew they were moving on to him. So it seems like they won this deal, and the Redskins got a good quarterback, a very good quarterback, but paid him a little bit too much for a little bit too long.
This is an outstanding trade for both sides. Let me tell you why. Washington plays in an interesting division. You're going to say that the Cowboys are going to have a bounce back year. I don't think they're going to be outstanding. I think they'll be okay. They have a chance to win the division. Giants, I think they'll be just where the Cowboys are at. They're both similar. They just need a couple fixer-uppers. They've got a chance to go to the top of the division, and the Eagles will be there as well. Washington was completely decimated by the injury bug this year.
They're a team that could win now.
They can win if they're healthy.
Because the NFL is wide open.
You got to stay consistent, too. One thing Kirk Cousins did not have was consistency.
Exactly. He would be great one game, and then the next, it's just a throw in the garbage.
Well, I don't think he wanted to be there anymore.
Okay.
That's a completely different story.
Okay. So the Redskins go out, and they trade for Alex Smith, who's a winner. The guy's a good quarterback. He could use his legs effectively, dump it off to Chris Thompson. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant idea. Throw it the deep ball to my boy Dodson. Somebody, Crowder, run under it, brother. And you got Reed. The guy's got to get on the field. But if he's healthy, you got a Kelsey-type tight end out there. So now your offense is rolling. Your defense gets healthy. You got to maybe sign another corner, which they got rid of. They're getting rid of that guy Breland, one of the worst corners I've ever seen play the position. Horrifying. So you upgrade in two spots, and you're just at the top of the division with the rest. So now you're with the Giants, Philly, Washington, and the Cowboys are all at the top of the division, and they've all got chances to win, to get in the NFC Championship or possibly the Super Bowl. That's a great division.
Yeah, you know what else I may say? The Eagles right now, they're in the Super Bowl, right? If you look at the Eagles roster, though, it's not something special. They haven't collected this super team like there is in basketball or anything like that. The NFL is wide open right now. There's very few teams that you could picture are going to have a bad season and have a bad future
the
for
Browns.
The next few years. Other than the Browns. That's one of them, honestly. But other than them, there are very few teams you can go around and say they have no shot at going to the Super Bowl. They have no shot
one.
At doing that.
I know one.
Don't say the New York Jets. Cause
the Jets.
If they do the right things.
So I talked about positives for Washington. They got Alex Smith. The guy's a winner. I think he'll be outstanding there. Maybe potentially win them something out there. I hope they do. Kansas City, on the other hand, you already have the guy who you want as your starting quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. They've wanted him. They drafted him. They loved him. You knew this was happening.
Guy has
you could have predicted this.
He looked great in week 17.
Exactly. The guy looked great. So they have their starting quarterback next year. You still have Hunt. And
the cheetah, Kelsey.
Your offense is still pretty electric. I'm not seeing a drop off. I'm actually seeing potentially an increase in production.
Yeah,
this could be huge for them.
Right.
and you get a third round pick, which is more valuable than anyone thinks. Because when you hear a third round pick, it doesn't sound great. But that's where you find the hidden gems. That's where
Kareem
teams
Hunt,
like the
diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, that's
a
where
lot
you
of
see
value
the
in those
teams like the Steelers,
and
Patriots,
and the
teams.
Chiefs.
Exactly.
Kareem Hunt was a fourth round. Yeah.
Teams that can pick well in the draft late can be successful. So that's a valuable third round pick if they do it correctly. And you get a corner, a young upcoming corner. Is he the brother of
Yes.
Yes. Fuller? Correct.
Kyle Fuller.
Oh, Kyle Fuller.
On the Bears, correct. So he has potential to be outstanding. So their secondary right now,
Marcus Peters, Kendall Fuller, mm-hmm, and Eric Berry coming back,
is working itself out pretty well. Their defense did struggle, but they were injury prone in the secondary as well.
With the Berry injury.
But I really do think that the trade benefits both sides. I don't really see a clear winner because both teams needed stuff and they both got it. I didn't think Kirk Cousins, honestly, if I'm the Redskins, why do I want to sign that loser back for another franchise tag when I'm paying the guy only $2 million? I get it's another 4 years you have with the guy, but he'll be 41, correct? 37 this year.
He'll be 38 at the end of his contract.
The guy still has potential to win. The guy is a winner.
That's the problem. That's the only issue I have. If I were the Redskins, I'd do the deal. I'd go out and get him. I think I love that. And I also don't mind giving up Kendall Fuller because I think they can go out and draft and get a guy like Derwin James or something like that, a great slot corner or a great defensive back. But when you're paying a 33-year-old quarterback for 4 years, anything could happen in 4 years. He can get injured. Mm-hmm. He can even fall off after 2 or 3 years. So I would assign him to about a 2-year deal because you're done with the you're done with the 1-year deals at quarterback. You need a little bit of consistency. So a 2 or 3-year deal is what I would have done, and then maybe reevaluate then when he's with a 35 or 36-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, totally. Also, one thing with the franchise tag, I feel like the player on a franchise tag is playing to prove himself rather than for the team. It's more of an individual effort than a team game. That's why I don't think he ever really clicked in Washington. He's a good quarterback, and he'll be solid somewhere.
I think he's going to Denver.
I think he's going to Denver.
I think it would be a mistake
if they signed Kirk Cousins. They're not ready. They needed to draft a quarterback. All right. So we got really excited there. Ben, let's hear your electric moment of the week.
So I'm going to go with a game that happened on Tuesday night featuring the best player in college basketball.
Wrong.
He's the best player in college basketball. And he's drawing comparisons to Steph Curry. Just put on cover of Slam Magazine. That's Trae Young with an extremely efficient game. 44 points. The guy's the leading scorer in the country and the leading assist man in the country. 44 points on 11 of 20 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3, and 16 of 19 from the line. Also had 9 assists. So
didn't he have 31 of those points in the second half?
Can't confirm that. I made 20-something points, high 20s.
He's ridiculous.
He is ridiculous. If you haven't watched him yet, definitely catch a game. I recommend. The guy's flashy. He can shoot the lights out. Some of the passes he makes are outstanding. I mean, he's definitely someone to watch, and he'll be at the top of the NBA draft. Not the top tier of the NBA draft. So definitely catch a Trae Young game, Oklahoma, if you haven't seen him yet.
What concerns me is a little bit of the inconsistency. You're not going to play great every game, I understand. Every player goes through ups and downs. Every player doesn't perform well every night. But there's been a few occasions, everyone knows here, fans know that I'm not a real college sport guy.
A college guru.
But I do watch SportsCenter quite a bit, of course. One of the greatest shows on TV. And you do see the recaps because he is one of the best players in college. Big name. You get all the coverage on his games. He's had a few games with the turnovers are a little high, the shooting percentage is way down, and the team doesn't succeed. So it looks like as though this guy's carrying his team on his back, which I love. I love that. Get your team on your back and win a couple games. I love this guy. I think he still has a little bit of maturing to do, of course. Right. Still a college freshman, correct?
Right.
I think it would be a mistake if he came out this year.
No, I don't like that.
He's going to come out.
You can't turn down tens of millions of dollars at the top
here,
of the
here's what if I don't know. Trae Young, I think he's going to be a very good NBA player at the way he's progressing right now, and he's doing excellent in college. But I'm going to stick with Marvin Bagley as the best player in the country.
I'm not a fan of the one and done. I don't love that.
I don't like the one and done.
Players need to develop. That's why they're not ready for the NBA. There's a handful of players that are ready for the NBA. Think about it. There's 2 rounds in the draft. How many players in that first round are even... Some players in the first round don't even make the roster.
Not even all the lottery picks.
So it's already. Like, it's like, why would you, I understand if you're like a top five guy. Okay, you're going to play, you're going to a bad team, you might have a chance to be the face of the team.
Well, look at Donovan Mitchell.
That's who stepped there, it up. There are diamonds in the rough. You get Draymond Green also in the second round.
Exactly.
Isaiah
but
Thomas,
some
60th pick in the draft.
Exactly. Week. But some guys are just not ready, and you can see, similar to college football, where we're talking about Darnold and Rosen. I don't see, I watched the game with you, Benjamin. Darnold, not ready. He's not ready.
Darnold should stay another year.
He's not ready.
I agree, but Doug, let me just really quickly give you one reason why going one and done and getting the money as soon as you can is a good thing. You can always go back to school and graduate college.
True.
And let me tell you a specific story under John Calipari when he played at Memphis. I forget the kid's name, but he went to the NBA, made tens of millions of dollars, and he had a knee injury that ended his career in the first or second year of his career. And he had all that money to support his family, and he never would have gotten it if he left college later. So
the injury idea does push a lot of college players to go professional, of course. Makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to wrap up the newest segment on our podcast with a big game for the big man for the New York Knicks, 00, Enes Kanter. Had himself quite a showing in the 111-95 win for the New York Knicks over the Brooklyn Nets. He had 20 rebounds and 20 points. Just wanted to shout that guy out. I was there. Great game. Great work by the Knicks. And just wanted to shout out my boy Enes Kanter. Absolutely love the man.
Well, I just want to shout out a Nets win last night.
Yeah, it was a big win against the Sixers.
Loss, you know.
And?
Got the W last night.
Wait, just one quick thing before we move to the producer question. Mm-hmm. Ryan Shazier has been released from the UPMC Rehabilitation Institute on Thursday. So that's something you'll love to see. Everyone's been following Shazier's story, follows the NFL. He's really a young linebacker, good kid, unfortunate injury, hasn't really been able to walk since. So, yeah, you'll love to see him being released from the hospital and continuing his road to recovery.
Love it.
I just want to get
that's awesome.
Nick Steele on here on the swim team, who has some information about how they're doing this season.
I love it.
Very quickly.
Of course, school sports.
First off, what's going on, guys?
Hey!
All right. Just wanted to shout out the guys. Won leagues again, 12th year in a row. Another undefeated season. They won the league by over 100 points. You know, I got to see it, the whole thing. I love it. I actually was only, you know, I was able to be part of the county's lineup that's coming up in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. But league's coach went a little conservative. So I didn't get to swim, but, you know, just, again, they took care of business. Everybody got the job done. Only one loss in the last 12 years, going for another county championship. So it's going to be fun. Got a few weeks to go, and I'll update you guys in a little bit.
Love
that's
it.
That's great, Nick.
Sounds
and,
like
that's more than a dynasty. That's an empire right there.
Yeah. That sounds like Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns, 1-31, but the opposite.
Tough.
The 1-31 in his career in Cleveland.
I like the
this
idea.
Is the opposite right here.
I like the idea there, Brian. But Ben had it with the Halak one. That was the better comparison.
That's a Halak comparison.
No, you missed it. It was from the broadcast. Check it out, West TV on YouTube. Producer question from Mike Araf.
All right. So, sorry, Ben. I'm going off, going away from what I was going to do. So, good. I just want to bring up the Brewers, getting Yelich and Kane, big things. They're now looking into Chris Archer from the Rays, because the Rays have been looking to get, they're looking to just, for some stupid reason, rebuild. And the Brewers have been mentioning getting a top-level starting pitcher for an outfielder, and the discussions have been Domingo Santana for Chris Archer. What do you think a trade for Archer would need?
I don't know what it would need, because I don't know the Brewers farm system. I'm not familiar with it, but if the Brewers got Chris Archer, I mean, that's the most drastic improvement an MLB team has made over an offseason in as far as I can remember. And that's the smallest market team in the MLB, Milwaukee. So that'd be a drastic improvement and good for the city of Milwaukee. Good for the fans.
I'll update the question then.
It's fine. Matty Gold has just checked out. He's him and his MLB baseball.
Who talks about MLB on the regular? Who talks about it in the offseason?
Mike Garafa has a question
Matt,
every week.
You're talking
so we'll answer it. Okay. Let me just answer your first question. If they get Chris Archer, they're in business because they had a great first half of the year last year, tailed off towards the end, probably their starting pitching, they're just a young team. They got to work on their defense too. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. Can hit the ball real well. But I think that would be a huge improvement if they can get a starting pitcher like Chris Archer. Their outfield is really impressive, along with that infield, can really hit the ball well.
And they're a really young core. So what do you think, with that in mind, if they get Archer, do you think they're the leaders of the NL Central?
It's Chicago, Chicago Cubs.
I think they can contend with them. I think they can... It's definitely a top two team in that division, and you never know if they win the season series with the Cubs. You don't know what can happen.
It's a long season.
It's a crazy sport.
It's a very long season, so anything can happen. You know, if you would have told me that they would have been had the first half of the season that they did last season, I would have been shocked.
Yeah,
but they did. It's a very, very long season. Anything can happen. I also thought Chicago would go out and win last year, but they didn't. So we'll see, and anyone can contend. That's my answer.
That is an extremely difficult division to win. You have the Cubs.
The Cardinals are always there.
The Cardinals just don't go away. I don't know how. They just don't ever go away. But I think this might be the year where they kind of sweep it under the rug and just start to rebuild. But they won't be gone for long. The Pirates are in a rebuild.
Yep.
Got rid of McCutchen.
They got rid of McCutchen. Garrett Cole. They're definitely... going for a rebuild. So there's two teams that are possibly out, and the Reds are just not contenders at all. They had an interesting year last year.
Could be, though.
Sort of made out.
And they have some talent, too.
They're not bad. But I see the Cubs and the Brewers at the top of that division, but also it is the MLB. You never know. It's way too early. We're in the preseason here. But if they do get Archer, their outfield looks pretty solid. They've got a chance to contend. The Cubs, I don't see how they lose the division. They got a lot of talent. They just had a tough year last year.
Honestly, that was a relatively bad season they had. And they still... Did they go to the championship game? Did they go to the NLCS?
They went to the NLCS against the Dodgers, and they lost.
So that's
incredible.
Yeah, because the Nats lost again. Uh-huh. But I
take a lot of pleasure in that.
Yeah, me too. I think, though, the Cubs' starting pitching is just not good. I mean, Arrieta's gone. He hasn't signed with anybody yet. And MLB Network is predicting that he's not going to sign before the season.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
They're also predicting that neither is JD Martinez.
Dude, these guys have to sign.
I know.
Let's go! It's ridiculous already.
This isn't a holdout. This isn't Le'Veon Bell.
Come on!
I know. It doesn't make it...
But sign your name and sign a contract. Get your money and let's go.
And Moustakas wants... I'm not Moustakas. Hosmer wants 8 years or more.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
He's not going to get 8 years. He's not even going to get 8 years if he was hitting like 330. But I have to just... Lester's... I mean, yeah, he's good, but I think he's just declining. And Hendricks can go either way. I mean, he had a Cy Young-type season 2 years ago. I don't think he did that good this year. I don't remember.
He was all right. He was all right.
And they lost... Did they re-sign Davis, or did they... I think they got rid of him.
The Wade Davis bill, of course. He's gone.
They did, yeah.
He's gone. Colorado. He signed with Colorado.
Yeah, the Rockies.
The Rockman.
So their bullpen's kind of pretty terrible at the moment, with like the core of that bullpen being like Pedro Strop.
People don't even know who these people are. So their bullpen stinks. Their starting rotation is on the decline. They've got a pile of talent. Up the middle, they got Addison, Russell, and Baez. Yeah, they've got a pretty solid team. They just got to work on their pitching, and I think it will be a close division, definitely.
But they also have the best player in the NL. What's his name?
Bryant?
Yeah, Chris Bryant. Yeah. And then Rizzo. Rizzo's incredible also.
Yeah. He's all right.
Rizzo's very...
Just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So Mike Garofa loves to bring up baseball, even in the off season.
Can't wait for the regular season.
Pitchers and catchers report.
Reporting very soon.
Very excited for that. You know, me and Benjamin will be on our couches watching preseason coverage
of the New York Yankees. So that'll do it for us today. As always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxie, Mr. Ricciuti, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday, today's producer, Garofa, also joining us for some baseball analysis. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside Matthew Gold, Brian Flatow, and Douglas Suka. We will see you next week.
Love you all.
Fly, Eagles, fly.